Keats Lederer is a singer and musician who was in charge of the creative process of the 88, a California band whose biggest quality might be the way they combined dark lyrics with poppy upbeat melodies, with them being best known for creating the Community theme song, a show both incredible and so meta that it's kinda hard to explain. But being part of something so meaningful, and also the fact that most people know you only from that, might as well be an issue. That's why You Know, his first solo record, is a way to show the world and himself where his sound is heading. From topics like being a part of his family to being totally nervous about his debut as an actor, Keith was very open and thoughtful sharing his experience, and now I wanna make you a part of it. I'm Carlos González, and this is A Quien Corresponda. My chat with Keith happened on August 12th, 3 days after his birthday. That's why, after wishing him a happy birthday, we talked about celebrations and how we both rather stay away from the spotlight when it's about us. But once we're dragged into the situation, we realize that it's actually not that bad.
If you were a drug, which drug would you be?
And this also helped me to deconstruct his personality. If everyone wants him to do something, he'll do the opposite. So I understand you moved to Atlanta recently. How's the city treating you?
It's good. Again, just very blessed to have so many nice people in our lives here. And my wife is from here originally.
Yeah.
So I've been coming out here for years.
Okay.
So I kind of knew I didn't come cold, so to speak. And it's been...
You knew what was ahead of you.
A little bit. I mean, but... You probably know, it's like until you actually live someplace, it's hard to get a read on it. But I was just talking to my daughter last night in the car, and we were both agreeing that it feels like we've been on a 3-year vacation.
Okay, that's cool.
You know, like it still feels like, in a good way, like not like this doesn't feel like home or anything like that. Just feels like
the honeymoon phase.
You know the part? Yeah, and you know, like the parts of vacation that are so great is that there's like. It's almost like, I don't know, like less responsibility in a weird way. Like you're just kind of, I don't know, like if you're not super identified with something and it's like you travel easier, you know, like, but as soon as it's yours and it becomes, I don't know, kind of like what we were saying about the party, you know, like as soon as it's my thing, then.
It's a responsibility.
Yeah.
I would like to talk about the process of your new album, You Know. For what I understand, you recorded it in LA, but all the creative process of all of the writing process was in Atlanta. Even the last song on the record, One and All, it's kind of about that feeling of you moving to another city after living in the same place for a long time.
Yeah, you've really done your homework.
thank you.
Yeah. That was the first song that I wrote for the record, and I wrote it on piano, and it was definitely came out of like I was just looking at social media more. Just I think because I was feeling kind of isolated and disconnected, and so then that kind of came out of that. Just wanting to be a part of something, but knowing that it's, I can't really be a part of that. And like,
you know, that it's like social media has this kind of feeling of you wanting something and it's like at the other side of the world. I think I can relate to that because actually my mom lives in Atlanta.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, wow.
Yeah. She's been living there for like 2 years now.
Oh, my gosh. What part?
She lives in Smyrna, I believe is the name of the place.
Yeah. I know the area.
Okay. Yeah, well, she's been living there for like 2 years, and I visited her last December after 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
And before that, is like you feel like you're having this conversation with your phone, like it's a part of your family, mm-hmm. like it becomes a part of your family.
Yeah. I mean, I just speaking to kind of what you're saying, I've missed my family more than I thought I would in a weird way. Like I think there was so much activity just to move across the country that, you know, you don't really have time to stop and think about those kinds of things. It was just like we were in go mode. Yeah. And then the dust kind of settled and it was like, oh, okay, here I am. What am I doing?
This happened.
Yeah, what am I like? And, you know, at that point, I hadn't really been doing much music and there were no songs really, no ideas, which is kind of weird for me. And so there was definitely a sense of like just a little discomfort, like, okay, what do I do? And so that song actually was the beginning of kind of a little burst of creativity, which just kind of happened out of nowhere.
Of themselves in front of things that I don't know why I keep looking when I know it isn't real.
So you recently released a video collage called Three Songs.
Yeah.
When you had that conversation with your friend Chris Cole, this the first intention or you had like some kind of epiphany after the conversation?
It was so great because it had nothing to do with making videos. He didn't even know, the first conversation we had, he didn't even know I'd made a record.
Okay.
So like he was calling because I was posting these collage pieces I've been doing
on your social media
and so he really liked them and he just, it was really nice of him just to reach out and just let me know that he liked them. And then I sent him the record. Again, he doesn't even really do video, so okay. I mean, I guess he does in his job. He lives in San Francisco and he works for a I'm not really sure what he does, but I know.
What is it that he does?
But basically, what he was telling me was, "Hey, you, these collages—they're like you could apply this to video. You could apply this to." So he's like, "You should start putting stuff together. I think it would be great with these songs." He really loved the record too. He was so supportive, and so he goes, "I'll show you how, like, what I'm thinking, I'll show you, like, how to do it." So the first thing he did was that first part of the three songs, and he just stumbled upon this artist, this German filmmaker from the 60s, and that was, you know how things happen, it just became this cool, like, oh, okay, let's just use all his footage, and it'll be this intentional, almost collaboration with this guy, and, so he sent me the first one and I just remember like being really moved by it. Like hearing the music in that way, I was like, oh, of course it made perfect sense. And yet I'd never thought of it in that way. And so I think had a similar experience to where he's like, I want to make another one. I'm like, please make another, you know? And so he just did. What was cool about it was that was the impetus to even put the record out, because the record had been done for a while and I just didn't know what I wanted to do with it. I didn't want to just put it up on iTunes and go, hey guys, I made a record.
Yeah. I'm this musician doing songs.
Even that stuff's fine. It's just I was wanting to present something different.
Yeah.
You know, like what?
It's like a piece of art.
Yeah. A piece of art. And I think I didn't know that that's what I was waiting for, but it turns out that's what I was waiting for. And at the same time, you know, there's the community TV show. They did this table read around the same time and I played on that. So it was like this perfect storm of like, oh, this makes sense to put the record out.
Now that you say community. I would like to ask you about that, because about especially about that event, the community cast, for everyone to know, the community cast made a table read in support of COVID-19 relief efforts, and you got to play, at least it was here, the theme song during the reunion.
Welcome, everybody. It's my pleasure to be here with you today with this talented group. We're very excited to be as together again as possible in support of charity for a table read of season 5's cooperative polygraphy. And as if that couldn't get any more bonusy, doing the actual theme is the actual theme song writer and performer from the 88, Keith Sledadahl. Hey, Keith.
Hey.
Thank you so much. I love that song so much, man, and I'm really grateful you did it.
Thank you so much.
It was one of my favorite bands.
How was that experience?
It was great. It was so much fun. I think for a long time, I kind of shied away from that song, and okay. I don't really know why. Yeah. It's like part of my personality. Like, if I think a bunch of people want to hear that, I don't want to do it or something. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what
like
it was.
Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean... And then I just remember playing it acoustically and posting it around the time I started kind of being more active with putting the record out. And the response was just like off the charts. Like, people just love that show, and that song is such a big part of it to them. And so it was so fun to do the thing, because I don't really know the people. I've met a few of them over the years, but it was really cool to watch how close they all were, and it was like a reunion. You could tell it was like this reunion, and they were just
friends.
Yeah, and really fond of each other, and really great memories. So I was just like a fly on the wall, to be honest, just watching. And I thought it was actually really entertaining, which I thought it was really funny. So
Even your part, I watched that Zoom party, the table read, and I remember you playing the song and everyone dancing, and it was so cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. I'm really glad I got to do that.
Give me some rope, tie me to a tree, give me the hope to run out of steam. Somebody said it could be here, we could be roped up, tied up, dead in a year. But I love you more than words can say. I can't count the reasons I should stay.
Would you say the lyrics of that song are sad?
I would say that there's been a bunch of interpretations of them, the story of it is really that when they asked us to take a shot at making a song, the way I work usually is I'll have a melody in mind and I'll just start making up words as they just like sounds, really
mumbling,
just stream of consciousness, and that's what that song is. So all the verse parts are just literally me just making up stuff. And I tend in general to kind of skew towards the darker in a way, which has always been a little bit of the dichotomy of like the 88, for instance, was a pretty poppy, upbeat band. But if
the lyrics,
a lot of it is a little more on the melancholic side, but so anyway, we sent that to them just so they could, just to see if we were even on the right track. Like, I'm not going to spend all this time working on this song if it's not even close to what you guys are thinking. So we sent it to them just for the feel, and they actually liked the lyrics, which I couldn't believe it. Because we said, hey, we'll rewrite these, but just as like placeholders, this is what we're thinking. And they kept it. So it's actually pretty cool, because it's kind of known as that like it sounds all happy, but it's really about suicide. It's like, it's not really about that, but I get it. It's like, you always think something has to mean something. I mean, I do that with songs too, but then as a guy that's written a lot of songs, I also know that it's rarely that on the nose. It's more like a feeling or an impression of something.
I know Dan Harmon, the creator of Community, has said that you guys, the 88, are one of his favorite bands. But how do you go to that meeting, how do you, did he tell you anything about the show before you wrote the song?
No, in fact, it was, I've never met Dan Harmon. I think he's okay. Amazing, but I don't really know him. That Zoom call was the first time I'd ever had any interaction with him.
Oh, so okay.
The Russo brothers, who are producers, they produced that show.
And directed it, yeah.
Yeah, and so they had used at least one of our songs in one of their movies before, and I just think they were fans of the band, and I think it was through them that we got asked to try to write a song.
But did you watch that show? Did you watch Community?
I really didn't. I didn't.
Okay.
And so I think it's like such a great show now. And so, like I said, it's so rare to be a part of something that's actually unique.
That's this big.
Yeah. You know, that has like a point of view and is different. And so now it's like, of course I appreciate it so much and I've seen a lot of it, but at the time I didn't watch.
You know? It must be weird to hear you sing. If it's weird, hear your own voice through a voicemail or something. I can only imagine what it may be hearing it through a theme song for six years.
Yeah, so that's the other thing is like I tend to shy away from listening to myself, and that was probably part of it too. It's just that weird thing. I mean, I think now as I'm older, I embrace that stuff more. But when I was younger, it was just was so insecure, maybe, like I didn't want to hear it. just like hope for the best. But now it's like I said, even just embracing that that's by far the most popular thing I've ever written. So why not? Like, why am I so shy about it? Or so
yeah, I understand. Being part of a band is an opportunity to create with other people, but it also involves giving up ideas that might not fit with certain styles. And once Keith faced the fact that he was now a solo artist, he let himself go with the flow.
After I wrote those songs and we recorded them, I realized that the band would have never recorded those songs. But I wasn't aware of it in the moment, and then it was kind of vindication, just like, oh, I'm so happy that everything worked out the way it's supposed to work out. And I didn't realize that I was kind of on autopilot in the band, you know. I didn't see it. And I think that's what being in a band and making music with other people, that's kind of part of it, is that it's not just you. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, it's not a negative thing. It's just that I wouldn't have made the choices I made and stuck with them the way I did unless it was just me.
Exactly.
You know, so
it's like you have to fight for these ideas to make them through.
Yeah. And I think the band would have been totally supportive. That's the other thing. It's more that it's difficult for me to put myself out there with other people. It's easy when it's just me and it has to get done. And I just think it's a more potent presentation of something when there's a single focus, you know. It's like a real point of view. And I think for better or for worse, that's what I love about the record I made, is that every choice is very me. I was saying, you know, these songs remind me of like the first songs I wrote. It reminds me of my first record, or our first record, kind of. Like there was something in it, and I can't explain it because I never consciously sat down and set out to do that. You know, it just kind of happened, and I just kind of rolled with it and thought, oh, this is fun. And also, it was actually more modern people. I know I've said this in other podcasts, but this guy named Ty Siegel, he's like a younger guy. And he makes like very 60s influenced, like garage rock. It's way weirder than what I do in general. But he was really influential, just in that he just didn't seem to care. And he's really prolific, and he would just put out all these records, and they just sound cool. And that just like got me going. You know, I was like, well, you know, not everything has to be this perfect song acoustically. Like, let's just mess around with sounds and just. And I started to like imagine stuff. I started to think, oh, but what if this was like with this weird sound, and that would be cool. And then it just all of a sudden the song started to happen. So yeah, and I was just listening, you know, it's like random, but I was listening to this Donovan record, and the sounds on that record were really inspiring. And then T-Rex too. Like, I was just, that's just what I was, I think, listening to at the time. So it just kind of went that direction.
I love 'cause I'm a lover. I fight because I'm scared. She moves me like no other.
I remember listening songs like "'Cause I'm a Lover" and thinking, what's the influence? Is it Elvis? Is it the Beatles? Mm. Because you can hear the guitar sounds, they sound kind of like the Beatles stuff from the 60s, but you can also hear, I don't know, horns or trumpets.
Yeah. Well, think like, that one always reminds me kind of Savoy Truffle, the Beatles on the White Album. There's that those incredible horns, and I think that was even maybe part of what we were going for. There's just so much stuff of that era where they did so many different things. They covered so much ground, and I feel like it was just fun to kind of imagine stuff and then see it through. You know, I think in the band it was a little harder to do that. It had become like, this is what we're, these four guys, and this is what we play. And
yeah,
it was just more fun to just kind of let your imagination run. And then,
Oh, baby, it's right to be what is right. Lay down your fight. Just stand in the light. Preachers will scream while little girls dream.
I would like to know, was it because of you guys, the 88, I mean, giving away free demos at a Supergrass concert, the reason that you ended up being the band for Marshall and Lily's wedding at How I Met Your Mother?
Crap! Band! We forgot a band! It's just gonna be silence and then people chewing.
Shh, baby, don't worry about it. I called the 88!
Who?
The 88? They're this awesome band. They played my law review party. They were found guilty on three counts of rocking.
Well, the way we met the guy that has represented the band all these years as far as music licensing, we met him. That's how he heard us. So, yes, in a roundabout way, that led to that. But at that time, I didn't even know that that was a thing, that you could get your songs in TV. Like, it wasn't a, you know, this was like 2002. Or something like that. So it just wasn't what it is now, for sure. Now everybody does it. And I remember even then, it was almost like still a question of like, is that selling out? Like, you know, like you just even to like put your stuff in something like that was still a little like, I don't know. And then I remember there was a show called The OC. I think Beck like debuted a song on there, and that was like, whoa, what? Like Beck put a song on the, and I could be totally wrong about this. I don't know the history exactly, but that was my memory. And then I think we were on the OC soundtrack. We had a song on one of the shows, and then we were on that soundtrack. And then, you know, we just kind of fell into that world of getting songs and shows. And I remember the first placement we got was on a show called Jag.
Yeah.
And I remember like staying home. I this was still like I had a VHS, and I like recorded it, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the song they chose, and I couldn't believe the scene it was in, and it was just made no sense to me. And yet but at the same time, I was like, wow, like they'll pay us to use that song, and that I was like very grateful for it.
But was it because you didn't like the song, or because you didn't like the scene that it was on?
To me, there's no way that song would be played in that bar. Like it just made no sense. But I love the song. Like no, it wasn't I don't like the music. It was more just like what a random thing. But in a good way. And I've always said, like, I just feel so fortunate to fall into that sort of stuff, because it's hard to make a living in a band, you know?
I was wondering if you guys could play Good Feeling by the Violent Femmes. I'm getting married and my fiance wants to hire you guys as the band, but I can't sign off on it until I hear you play Good Feeling because that's our song. And what kind of wedding band would you be if you couldn't play our song, right?
Look, I'm kind of wasted right now, so I didn't understand any of that. But if there's the sheet music, we'll play your song.
I remember watching that episode recently and I laughed at you being wasted.
Well, that's,
I guess you can say that you're a professional actor, right?
Well, I'm not, and I'm terrible, and I was so nervous. That's like one of the most nervous I've ever been. I never did any acting. It's so not me. And the only reason I got through that was because I thought we were just rehearsing it. I didn't even know they were rolling.
Okay.
And what's ironic is I don't drink or do drugs, so like
so you're a professional actor.
I'm terrible, man. I can't watch
it's that. Cool it's a great really episode actually.
So that show, I remember the only reason I agreed to do it was because she was then just my girlfriend, but she was a huge fan of the show.
I met Your Mother fan.
Yeah, and so I thought, oh, Keith, come on, just do it, man. just dig deep.
Girlfriend blinds.
Yeah, because originally it was like I had like 11 lines, like something crazy.
Damn.
And I just was like, there's no way I could do this. And in the original script, it wasn't the 88. It was a made up band name. It was like a more like goofy, like Frankie and the, I don't remember what it is. I have the actual script.
Okay, that's cool.
So yeah, originally it was just goofier and I just thought there's no way I could do this. But it changed and thankfully I only had a couple lines.
But did you have to say something to the director? I mean, like, dude, I'm no actor. There's no way I'm doing this.
Yeah, but I did. But my memory of it was they didn't seem all too concerned about it. That's
what's funny,
like they're just like, hey, yeah, it's fine. Like you'll be fine. I remember we did the table read and I was just like, how did I get here? What is going on? You know, but everyone was super nice and it was cool. And we actually got to set up and play, I remember, which was made it easier that we weren't just like, I mean, yes, we did some miming and stuff, but we actually did get to play a little bit. And it's cool as like, as you get older too, like, you know, like to show these things to my daughter is a weird experience, you know, it's like, and like as she's gotten older, she's like, wait, how did you do that? Like now it's like it's like really doesn't make sense to her. Like, wait, you were on TV? Like,
that why?
Doesn't make it. Yeah. Why?
You're
why
here.
Why did they let you do that?
Before music struck him, baseball was a big part of Keith's life. But as the director of Three Songs explained, they quit because they were really bad at it. Or so I thought.
Well, that was not... That's funny that you say that, because this is going to sound stupid, but I was actually pretty good at baseball.
Oh,
but it just sounded like... So Chris wrote that thing, and was just read better, him saying that we both weren't good at baseball. But that's funny. It's just funny you brought that up because my dad, you know, he called me. He's like, hey, what's this I read about you not being good at baseball? Like, you're great at baseball. Yeah. Of course, I love baseball. It's like it was a huge part of it was like my whole childhood. That's all I did.
Okay.
Until music. That was like my obsession, I'd say. And I still like me and my daughter still play catch occasionally and it's super fun and I love it, yeah.
What was your position?
Catcher.
Ah, you were a catcher too. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Are you too?
No. I know. I hate baseball. But actually I just wanted to let you know that I hate baseball and everything around it. No. But I'm from Venezuela and baseball is a big thing there.
Oh, right.
So yeah. So you have to.
So what's your sport? Soccer?
I like football. Yeah, I like soccer.
Yeah.
But you have to know baseball. Even if you don't like it, like me, you have to know, and you have to have a team. And it's for a few moments, it's like, please shut up.
I get it. Like, even these days, it's like baseball is so slow. And I get it, man. Like, if you don't grow up, like, into it.
I played, but I remember one time, actually my roomie, he was a pitcher. I was catching and he hit me with one of his fastballs, and I was like, I don't want to do this again anymore.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I can totally see it. You know, it's an album filled with sounds from different eras, but it feels very present. And that's what I took from my conversation with Keith, a guy that is now very self-aware of how he feels, and it's always working on new ways to put it into song. A Quien Corresponda is written, produced, and edited by myself, Carlos González. Juan Pablo Vidigain mixes this show at Videlandia Bacanal. You can listen to the Spanish version of this interview and all of the episodes available wherever you get your podcast. And if you like what you heard, you can subscribe to A Quien Corresponda on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your shows. Follow us on Instagram at Corresponda Podcast for more content, and thank you so much for joining.